Father, you know the purpose and the reason why that we have been called to this house of prayer. For the nationalities that you have chosen will be a part of the next level. And yesterday, when prayer went up, one of the things that was brought out loud and clear was that there'll be no prejudice visible from the hearts of those who would minister to whatever type of background, culture, and whatever nationality or color. That God, by His Holy Spirit, would pour out love through every vessel that He would choose to pour into these young people that are going to be coming and exposed to what darkness can do. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to place into the hearts of these that are here today for you to pour in what you want from each and every one of them, because your plan is much greater than mine. And I'm asking you, Holy Spirit, to work on them in the days and weeks ahead so that we can be prepared to do the work that you've called us to do. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. Thank you. Thank you.
Praise.
Would you bow your heads, please? Father, without you, this is only going to be a word. But I ask that you would open me up so that your spirit will have full control. I give you praise as I release myself to you. And these that are yous will really hear what your spirit is saying. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. So look at your neighbor and say, get ready.
Get ready.
God wants to make a you out of you. Hallelujah. Now, some of you may think that's a joke, but if you look up online later on, you can get the message from the beginning, so you'll understand. I want to take you to James chapter 4. That's what I heard this morning, James chapter 4. And I want to concentrate on verse 6, part B. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Try it on. Say, God opposes me when I'm full of pride. But He gives me grace when I humble myself and do it His way. Amen? You know, there was a season that God allowed in my life. And that season was that everything that we tried to do as husband and wife was divided. And it was what I would probably describe, the world would call it hell on wheels. Okay? And hell on wheels it was. And it lasted. Because no matter what was happening, there were decisions that I had made because the Holy Spirit had pressed that I should obey Him rather than people. Anybody got an idea about that? Obeying Him instead of people. But there was a lot of pride inside. But do you know what? Most of us don't even see that we have pride until it's kind of late. And when it's visible, we usually try to run the other way. So in this season of division, which was allowed by God, probably ordained of Him so that He could wipe out some of this pride in me, I'm not going to say that He had anything to do with my wife, because that was His problem. Because I gave her to Him. How many know sometimes your partner is going to end up being your worst enemy? Okay? Because everything they do and everything you've dreamed of now becomes shattered. And if you're a little proud like I was, you want to change them. Anybody got a clue of what I'm talking about? Yes. If you understand it, put your hand up. Thank you. Okay. Now at least I know I'm not alone. And those of you who are listening to this message, I'm going to ask God to pour in grace in spite of you. The ones that are here have had grace because they're here. Amen? But the bottom line was that I was trying so hard. I was trying. Notice who the author was. Me. And when I'm in the one that's in the driver's seat, nothing progresses. All it does is regress. And it drives you to your knees. So week after week, month after month, year after year, it continued. Until I got to the end of the road. Did you ever get to the end of the road? Mm-hmm. Can't do anymore. Well, guess when? That's the beginning of humility. You can't change it. You can't change them. They can't be changed because they're not ready. And neither are you. Until you decide to lay it down. So I am working at Grace Church at that time. And I can say that I was walking up the back entrance. And I'm standing right next to the air conditioner. Big exterior one. And I can never forget this prayer because it was really ordained of the Lord, but I would not suggest that you do this because it's not necessarily the way that I would want it to go. But it was God's choice to make me see myself. So I said a prayer. And I said, Holy Spirit, you are the counselor and you are the one that hears this prayer. I know because you're inside of me. And I'm asking you today, if I don't get some kind of a change between now and Monday, and it was Friday, I am going to call the attorney. And I'm going to do something. Unless you do your job. You're the counselor. So I'm expecting counsel. I didn't suggest that you pray that prayer. But then I did say, in Jesus' name, I mean business. Because I thought that I was going to crack. I was ready for the mental institution. And before I entered that mental institution, I figured I had to do something more. And God's grace was upon me. Because 24 hours later, I was in the hospital. Who do you think needed the surgery more? Me or my wife?
You.
Thank you. The problem wasn't her, it was me. That needed to have surgery. You say, well, why would you have to have surgery? I've got news for you. I had already had surgery. I have my gallbladder out and I'm still having gallbladder attacks. Doctor over there was the one that was taking care of me, and he sent me to the ultrasound, I believe it's called. And I'll be honest with you. I've never told him this, but it's the absolute truth. I'm on the ultrasound table, and the girl is telling you to turn the other way. How many don't listen? How many have ever had an ultrasound and looked at the monitor? And looked at the monitor. Put your hand up. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Now, I was looking at the monitor, and when I rolled over, I saw the stones falling. Now, you're not going to have surgery in a gallbladder because you ain't got one. But there were 5 stones. 5 is the number of grace. 5 stones inside the conduit that went from the liver down into the small large intestine. Small intestine. And I saw them. And one of them was shaped like a heart. And it was so perfectly shaped like a heart that it literally would block the hole that would allow the juices from the liver to go in. And of course, you've got all the normal symptoms of a gallbladder attack. You can't stand the pain in your body, but you can't get rid of it. And you're thinking, your head says, it can't be, because there's no more gallbladder. So obviously, they set up an appointment for day surgery. And I had to go to the day surgery area, and they did an endoscopy. They went down there, and I was aware of everything they did. And they cracked three of the stones, and by that time there was too much blood, so they couldn't crack the rest of them, and they couldn't cut open the rest of the conduit, you know, because there had been a little bit of scar tissue around it. And I heard everything. So now I'm coming out of the meds, and this big doctor was a big man. I would say 6'6", maybe 320 pounds. And he says to me, you're a wiggler. I says, yeah. He said, we're going to have to do this again tomorrow. I says, I know. I says, you cracked three stones, and two of them you couldn't do because there was too much blood. Huh, you're not supposed to know this. I said, well, in case you forgot, I happened to be the guy you were operating on. I was in the room. He said, that's not fair. He said, did you feel any pain? I said, well, of course I felt some. And he says, you're not supposed to have any of those symptoms. You're not supposed to know about this. I said, well, guess what? You're supposed to, made a mistake. I said, I do have an awareness of everything you said. And I says, I could give you other details of your conversation, but I don't think it's a wise decision. So what am I saying? I'm saying that the Lord was in the control room. And he was operating on my heart. I know my phone is ringing and I'm not going to answer it. The bottom line was, when I came through that surgery, the Lord said he had to crack my heart. Because it was blocking the flow. I was the one that had the problem. And I wanted to blame somebody else. God was against the proud. You say, well, everybody else is against me. I'm telling you, wake up. God could be against you and your attitude. And he may not have to break your heart because he did it for me. He may not have to use a surgeon's scalpel and a pair of tongs or whatever that they use to break those stones. But you know what? The next day they did it, and I don't remember a thing. Because I humbled myself. And I said, God, have your way. Whatever else you got to do, do it. And you know what? It didn't hurt. It had been 5 years between the first surgery and the second one. But God was really teaching me. Verse 7. Submit yourself then to God. 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 Did you get the message? Stop your resisting him. And awaken to the reality that you just might get a better plan than the one you've got or used. Your plan that you've got in your brain could probably be defective. And you could use the mind of Christ. Because that was part of the message this morning from the people. Telling you, the mind of Christ is available to you. The ways of God are available to you.
He may not have to put you in the hospital. Hopefully, you'll be better than me and you can humble yourself before it's too late. But I'm grateful that the Holy Ghost was on the job and he counseled me. You say, did you have to go through that kind of pain? Yes, I did, because I was stubborn. Mm-hmm. None of you have ever been stubborn before, but I was. Okay? Now, do you say, how much stubbornness is left in you? I don't want to know. Because the mind of Christ says, I can trust that he's on the job and he'll get rid of the leftovers. Because the scripture says, whatever he starts, he will complete. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. Okay? And he will complete you in the image that he has already designed for you. You say, what do you mean he's got a design? You know what? Scripture says Jesus was crucified before the beginning of the earth. Yeah. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, Jesus was already laid on the tree to redeem you and I. To redeem and to set us free. He's got a pattern that he's following, and it happens to be for you and me. And it was designed that I would have two surgeries, not one. Because he already knew that the stubbornness from the first part would not be completed. That it would take a second time. God didn't give up on me. His Holy Spirit didn't give up on me. Was it tough to go through? Yes. Did I learn anything? I learned to listen and I learned to shut my mouth. Yeah. So for the next 5 years or so, I did not respond. When accusations came, I didn't feed into the garbage. I let go of my opinion because it had no value. It was Kim's opinion. Or I was trying to teach somebody that was not teachable at that time. It's like saying, okay, let's put you back in high school and you've already graduated college. And you say, why am I back here? Because you didn't get the lesson. Whatever God has to do to get through to you, my prayer is that he will not have to break you, but he'll give you the grace to humble yourself. Amen. Learn from those who've been there before you. God is the one that opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. He gave me grace. And he gave my wife grace. And after 53 years, we're still together. We're on our way to 56, girl. We're not there yet. But the bottom line that I'm trying to tell you is, God's plan for her is different than it is for me. How many have ever had their plan for their partner? Thank you. Get rid of it. Get out of the driver's seat because you ain't God. Look at your neighbor. Say, let him do his job. Get off the throne. The throne of your soul. Mind, will, and emotions. Needs to go. And let God's plan start flowing through you. I'm praying for you. And I'm not going to let go. That you'll be humble enough to ask for grace. Put a smile on your face. And get happy. Because he's on the job. Not you. Hallelujah. Amen. See, when you are taking on the job of becoming like him, he's the one that has the ability to mold and make you. We used to sing this song. Mold me, make me into what? Yeah. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me. Melt me, mold me. Fall.
change those words today. Because you see, he's living inside. He's living inside. He's not moving out. He doesn't need to come back down. He's already in. He's already in you. He's able to teach you and counsel you and comfort you every step of the way. He's able to change you if you will simply let him. There's another song, to be like Jesus, to be like Jesus, all I ask, to be like him. Is he answering that prayer?
Yes, if you ask.
Is he making you different than you were?
Yep.
Is he getting rid of the stony heart? Does he have to use a nutcracker?
Sometimes.
Thank you. All grace is abounding to us. All grace is abounding to us. Now I'm going to ask you to put your Bibles down. Because we're going to lift up the one that has the ability to release that grace today. So would you stand, please? Say verse 8 of James 4. Come near to God.
Come near to God.
And he will come near to you.
And he will come near to you.
Wash my hands.
Wash my hands.
Wash my hands.
Wash my hands.
And purify my heart.
And purify my heart.
So that I can be changed.
So that I can be changed.
Because I'm sick of crying.
Because I'm sick of crying.
I'm going to start rejoicing.
I'm going to start rejoicing.
So again. God opposes the proud.
God opposes the proud.
But gives grace to the humble.
But gives grace to the humble.
I'm submitting myself.
I'm submitting myself.
To God.
To God.
I'm resisting the devil.
I'm resisting the devil.
That would love to use me.
Would love to use
to defend myself.
To defend myself.
But I'm going to resist him.
I'm going to resist.
And I'm going to resist the old self.
And I'm going to resist the old
self. And I'm coming near to you, God.
And I'm coming near to you, God.
And I'm washing my hands.
And I'm washing my hands.
I was a sinner.
I was a sinner.
I've been purified.
I've been purified.
In my heart.
In my heart.
I'm getting rid of the double mind.
I'm getting rid of the double mind.
I'm grieving.
I'm grieving.
And I'm mourning.
And I'm mourning.
And I'm wailing.
And I'm wailing.
And I'm looking.
And I'm looking.
To change.
To change.
My tears to laughter.
My tears to laughter.
And my joy.
And my joy.
Is a part of my future.
Is part of my future.
As I humble myself.
As I humble myself.
To the Lord.
To the Lord.
He will lift me up.
He will lift me up.
Not me lifting myself up.
Not me lifting myself up.
I thank you for the grace.
I thank you for the grace.
I thank you for the abundance of grace.
I thank you for the abundance
for the days ahead.
For the days ahead.
And I thank you.
And I thank you.
For the mind of Christ.
For the mind of Christ.
I thank you for the soft, flexible heart of the Lord.
I thank you for the soft, flexible heart.
That he imparted to me now.
That he imparted to me now.
Because I'm serious. I need that soft, flexible heart.
I need that soft, flexible heart.
For his glory.
For his glory.
And I thank him for it.
And I thank him.
I'm believing for it.
I'm believing
for it. I'm grateful for it.
I'm grateful for it.
In Jesus' name. It's mine.
It's mine.
Look at your neighbor. Say, you've got the heart.
You've got the heart.
And the mind of Christ.
And the mind of Christ.
Celebrate.
Celebrate.
Hallelujah. You better share some hugs with your neighbor.